It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good evening and welcome to the Game Week 35 episode of Misery Loves Company. The FPL therapy session, which we all get a chance to share our tales of woe in an attempt to air some frustrations, alleviate pains, and hopefully look ahead to future games with a little more hope and positivity. That's the plan anyway. It's not really happened that way so far recently. I'm Will Fossey, your regular host, and after a brief period of uptick of brightness and success for a couple of weeks, I say success, mediocre performance for a couple of weeks, it's fair to say I'm once again the sufferer of bad breaks and dodgy decisions and general red arrow regret. I'm in Dubai tonight. I flew over earlier today, during which, on the flight across Emirates, very good. Other airlines are available, but they were very good. I watched the Arsenal Spurs game live. The miracles, what you can do with a on a modern airplane, and that was great. That was a really exciting game, obviously, and it did contribute a few points to my paltry score. It's been an interesting game week. I'm sure it has for others, definitely has for us. So let's see how we go. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm on the phone again on a slightly different setup and I'm in a slightly echoey hotel room, so apologies for that. So as usual, I'm going to kick things off with to help you feel better about whatever you're going on with your life and your FPL team with my own tale of woe. A little look at some of the action, misfortunes or fortunes so far this week, and then we'll open the lines. Anybody wants to share? If anyone wants to drop in and just start talking about their game week, let me know. Just click the box and I'll add you in and we'll try and chat. Although the point of this is to try and help you feel better after a terrible game week or just a bad break, I'm equally happy to hear from people who are celebrating a heroic haul or some other FPL related result. So here we go. Here's what's happened with me. I think last time we spoke was during game week 34. It wasn't right at the end. So I'll just quickly sum up there. It was pretty grim in these parts. Whilst all those free hitters were out celebrating their triple digit hauls, so I think it was even a couple of 200 pointers doing the rounds. I think it might have been like one of the biggest weeks ever. I saw someone this week with 220 points, something insane. I ended up holding out on 80, and that was only thanks to Foden's kind of final masterclass, sparing some of those blushes. Just nothing seemed to go right this week. Oh, I've got a request. Hang on, I'm going to break off talking about myself and listen to get a first request. See if I can add you in. Hello. I'm going to try and see if you can connect. I'm on hotel Wi-Fi in Dubai. What could possibly go wrong? Makalani's trying to come in. Let's see what happens. It just shows it's connecting. I hope we don't have the hilarity where it decides not to connect. I can't do this on normal phone line, I'm afraid. But while he's coming in, I'll keep talking. It's showing a little rotating line of connecting. So I'm hoping you're going to come in shortly, Mr. Makalani. I saw that's not your full name. Maybe it is. Anyway, this week, 80 points. It's still connecting. I'll try you again in a second. Hold on. Let's try another approach. Sometimes if I do this kind of co-hosting thing, it works. I'll try that. Nothing seems to go right this week. Nowhere better was this demonstrated than my back line. Sorry, Makalani, you've gone up. Well, you tried to come in and you left. My back line has been appalling. Even though Bournemouth secured a clean sheet against Wolves in their second game with a double, they did so without Neto in nets. So a single point from a double game weaker there. That's pretty grim. What a badge. I know I'm not the only person with Neto, but that was a disaster. Adam Smith did chip in with a clean sheet in the second game, so that's something, I guess. Although Doughty dropping in from the bench was rather less welcome. I got a -1 just to make things worse. come on after Palmer and Haaland didn't show this game week. The thing is, my luck has been so bad. Even my defensive differentials, where I picked the right player, it still doesn't go right. So I had Mikulenko as a complete out. You know, I should have gone Branthwaite. It was between Branthwaite and Mikulenko. And he went Mikulenko because Branthwaite looked like he might have been injured. So he got 6 points against Forest, and that's great. And then against Liverpool, not expecting much. Obviously, Everton get a clean sheet, but obviously Mikulenko's off at half-time with an injury. As a Toffee fan myself, I was actually, I must say, I can't have everything. Having secured our Premier League safety whilst putting a bit of a final nail into Liverpool's championship coffin was probably a reward enough. But still, I'd hope for a little bit more. My son had Pickford in his team. My son's team, which is my B team, is absolutely smashing my A team this year. And Pickford did very well. So I think Everton defence, bit of a surprise for anybody that's picked them. And I think they could still continue to do well for the last few games. Obviously, I wouldn't have them against Arsenal. But you know, they seem to have been enjoying their football a bit between the teeth at the moment. And Sean Dyche isn't the sort of manager to suddenly let it all go, regardless of whether we've secured safety or otherwise. The people did the business on my side with Gabriel with the 12, Eze with 14, Saka with 9, Solanke with 8. And the people that didn't do the business from Liverpool were Captain Salah. I don't know who else Captain Salah. A lot of people did, obviously. This was the week where you thought, surely Salah's going to be Salah again. And he just wasn't, was he? Didn't obviously start the second game. 3 points up to 6 as on my captain, as a captain, and then Darwin. What on earth? Why I would never pick Darwin. I'm in such a bad situation with my FPL team that I'm thinking Darwin is a solution. If Darwin is the answer, the question has to be who should you not pick in your team. Anyway, so to sum up, 34. I managed to drop 130,000 places, and I'm back out sort of top million again. This is disastrous. I stress, not the Fantasy Football Scout lead commentator. I mainly handle business stuff and around the company. I'm not the person advising people day to day. There are much, much smarter men than me, as is shown by the fact that I am second to bottom of the Mods and Cons League. I have 17 points only keeping me from the wooding spoon. So this week so far, game 35. Obviously, we still have one more game to go. But that's not till Thursday. I don't know if people listened last week. I had the wonderful Ed was with me last week, and he gave me the great advice as a Newcastle fan to go big on Newcastle, which I did for my son's wildcard team, bringing in Gordon, Isaac, Izak, and Byrne, all of whom done well. And then I promptly went totally maverick in with my own team in what has proven to be a disastrous roll of the dice this week. In my defence, we worked to collect them 2 ways. I needed to make some defensive subs because I had Mikulenko injured, Udogi injured. I have enough of having Doughty anywhere in my team. What I thought was, people that have listened to me before will know that Shah has been the one sticking the knife into me. I had him early in the season for about 16 game weeks. Took him out when he was doing nothing and he proceeded to smash it. So I thought, right, I need a defensive change. Newcastle's the way to go. I want to build my Newcastle up. Shah. What can go wrong? Well, turns out quite a lot. Not only could they not keep a clean sheet that week, but he's off injured. So maybe, I don't know what the latest thinking is with Shah, but whether he's going to be playing, what he's late to play the next match, we should wait and see for the injury news. But yeah, that's looks like another problem I made for myself. So I did Shaft, there's only one free transfer, but I also need to get rid of Adogi, which is so annoying. I booked the Spurs player a few weeks ago before he got injured, or certainly before he's ruled out for the season. Couldn't afford Poro at the time, so I thought I'd go for Poro this time, so I could. So I went there, that was a hit, and then I wanted Son, so I took him for Salah for another hit. So I took an 8-point hit this week, which could be brilliant if the points had come, and I felt relatively confident I'd get them back, but that confidence has thus far proved misplaced. So Shah was subbed out injured, 1 point. Gabriel and Porro in my back line got a point each as well, although to be fair Porro still has a game left, so we'll see what happens against Chelsea. Darwin managed to match that. I don't even know why I kept saying Darwin. This is the state of my problem. State of the problems in my team. I still can't get rid of Darwin. And I had him in the team, and I had Saka on the bench. I was saved by illness and injury elsewhere to actually get some points. Solanke, how Solanke to get 2 points when they win 3-0, I don't know. Palmer obviously has underwhelmed everybody. I'm sure everybody else is frustrated with Palmer. To be fair, you know, he's just come back from a bit of sickness, and you know, Chelsea aren't that brilliant, are they? Let's face it. So, but we would all expect it for something more from Palmer. I was between Palmer and Son. I went Palmer in the end. Shouldn't have done. Should have stuck with Son, obviously. So he underwhelmed. Obviously, he's still got a game left to atone. So Chelsea, if Chelsea Spurs is high scoring, maybe it all makes sense. Dubravka only got 3. So really, only people earning their keep this week is Son. So I've got him in, and he's a double-doubler. The thing about owning Spurs is they do still have another double to come. None of them are particularly easy doubles, but they do have another double to come in 37, as well as the second game this week. And then Saka came in for Eze. Eze, who was my star last week, Saka came in for off the bench for Eze, who didn't play. And delivered 12 points in a great performance today. He could have got more. He was fantastic. Arsenal in spells were incredible. They're just so on the count now. It was incredible to watch. Could have scored many more. I think Saka really had an easier chance to score than what he did. Hold on, I've got someone requesting to join. Agu, I'm going to try and add you in here. Here we go. Agu Nech. It says, Agu, can you now speak? Can you hear me? I'm sensing we might have that hilarious situation where I can't hear you, but you can speak. It says can now speak, but I can't hear you. Ugh. This is not my technology. This is Elon Musk's. Are you in there? I'm gonna try adding you as a co-host, see if that makes any difference. Because that worked last time. Oh no. I think it's that technology. This is a really exciting technological problem. I moved from the phone from the 3G or 5G, whatever, to digital Wi-Fi, and I had this problem. But I've not been on 5G here, thanks to my supplier 3. If you're ever thinking of using 3 as your phone supplier, don't. Just my tip. Disaster. But yeah, they've managed to stitch me up yet again. Every time I come to the Middle East, they stitch me up, but they haven't managed to get me working. Anyway, point is, I can't use that thing. So Agu, I'm really sorry, Agu. You were trying to join, and I'm quite gutted you can't. I've tried to add you in. I've tried to add you again as a. I've invited you as a co-host. No, so sorry, people could hear him, and you could, and I can't hear him. I'm not sure what is occurring here. I'm just double checking. I'm doing something really stupid. Didn't appear as didn't appear. He just said kept going round and round in a circle. So it's one of these phone-ins where the phone-in can't work. Maybe Spaces doesn't like Wi-Fi. I don't know. It's a bit weird. Anywho, just to continue where I am on while I'm waiting for Whipple to come in. Yeah, so ultimately, Saka came on, 12 points. They were great today. Bournemouth Smith, who is my came off the bench, but ultimately for Foden, who is also ill. Haaland chipped in with a few points as well, who I didn't think was going to play, so that was great. So I'm now at a collective 44 minus 8. So 36. The majestic live FPL tells me I have 14 points. 14 points behind, you know, off, just holding my rank, effectively. So at the moment, I'm dropping down, if things stay as they are, to 1.25 million. Just outside 1.25 million, in fact. So it's all gone pretty atrociously. My mission I set myself about 5-6 weeks ago, and this is a new thing that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking might even add this as a feature in Scout, is to think about missions. You know, you'd love to win the game, you'd like to win the mini leagues, but what else are you trying to do? Try and set yourself a target and see how you're doing against it. So I was about 30, 40 points off being in the top 500k a few weeks ago. Now I'm 73 points off. So I'm going to need a miraculous end to this week and some crazy form in the last three to do this. This is a total, as an Everton fan, I'm used to relegation run-ins, but this is what this is. This is a total relegation run-in now. The frustrating thing is I am trying to take this semi-seriously. I'm not as hardcore as some of the scouts, but I do take it seriously. Obviously, I'm doing the scouts. I care about it and it upsets me. And I don't really don't want the wooden spoon, which at the moment is held, is being clutched by Mr. Will Timbers in our Mods and Cons League. And that's only mainly because he works crazy hours and has had got one small child, another child just come in. So he's had time away. And I'm still only just beating him at the moment. So this is disastrous. Anyway, but obviously, FPL side, my week has not gone as bad as certain others. As an Everton fan, I'm very happy to be back in the Premier League next year and to take whatever fresh points deduction we have offered to us by the Premier League. So I think Leicester are coming up to join us. That'd be nice. Obviously, it's been a pretty bad week for Sheffield United fans. So I don't know if there's any Sheffield United fans there. I feel sorry for you guys. You'll be returning to the Championship unless something amazing happens with further point deductions or something we're not aware of. But yeah, not only will you go back to Championship for next season, but you're going to go down with, I think, a record goals conceded, potentially, and a record negative goal difference, unless things turn around. I think it's 97 goals. That can't be right. 97 goals conceded. So the thing about that is at least, you know, if you concede 97 goals, yeah, you're not brilliant, but you are obviously having a go, right? Yeah, you're out there. Yeah, 97 goals again. Minus 63 goal difference. I think the worst was like 100, maybe 101, I think it was. I was looking at this earlier. And that was actually Sheffield United in previous season. So they've got three games to not concede three or four goals. At this rate, it does not look great, especially considering their kind of their fixtures. Who they have next week, they are against Forest, which should be a very tasty game. And then they're away to Everton. Who we may be on the beach, so maybe they'll do all right there. And then finally against Spurs. I do hope they can get a win in one of these. I wouldn't even mind if they beat us to sort of go down heads held high. I'm not suggesting for a second, though, you want to be looking at Sheffield United players. Obviously, that is a shame. That's not going to be... that's not something... There was very briefly a few options out there. But yeah, I don't think... Even in game week 38, that's not going to be the... that's not going to be an option. So it's been a tough one for Sheffield United fans. How's everyone else going? I know there are a couple of people trying to get in. I apologise in advance if that's the technology defeating us. I'm going to have to look into this because, yeah, we did have a bit of a problem last time. I was switching between Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi and a 3G connection. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening there, but I'm solidly on Wi-Fi here. So if someone else wants to try and join, they can. I was going to have a look at some of the people. There was some misery shared online earlier. After we posted the thing earlier. The post from Scout Elliott said, play Foden by Shah, dismayed by Jackson. Who's not dismayed by Jackson? Talking of Jackson, totally unrelated, I went to see the MJ musical theatre thingy in the West End on Friday night. That was really good. He didn't. It would have been amazing if he came at the last minute and just shinned it wide, but he didn't do that. It was more about Thriller and Billie Jean and all that sort of stuff. But it was, well worth a go if you like a bit of musical theatre, a bit of a change from FPL. So, yeah, I got Shah back in for a hit, so that's bad for me. I shared that. Brett Woodward, or FPL Shake and Bake, sold Saka, kept Salah, bought Foden. There was a lot of people selling Saka. I think this week, and I can understand it because people are trying to play into the doubles and they're trying to play into the end of the season. And Saka, you know, compared to people like Havertz, who again did beat him on the bonus this week and has outscored him by at least a point, I think. Saka's not been quite as pointy scorey as one would like. But yeah, he is a great player, and Arsenal are obviously vying for the Championship. For the Premier League, rather. Championship's a whole different competition, but vying for the Premier League. So I understand why people left were getting rid of Saka because they were thinking about the doubles. Obviously, we have the double this week for Chelsea and Spurs. And then in 37, there's going to be doubles again for Spurs and again for Chelsea, but also for Man City, Newcastle, Brighton and Man United. And that's what people are kind of gearing up for now, looking at getting, double or treble Chelsea and double treble Spurs. Well, maybe double Spurs probably. Thinking about Man United options, although United were not very impressive this week, of course. It's very weird, United, isn't it? Drawing 1-0 with Burnley, there's a lot of fury there. It's going to be very interesting to see. To be honest, anything can happen in the cup final, so maybe they do win that. Who knows? Who knows? But and that's it's a derby cup final, and you know all bets are off. Anything can happen in that game. But I'll be amazed if Ten Hag's there. next season. So if anyone wants to any Man United fans want to offer an opinion on that as well. But yeah, you know, the guy, you know, the guy's done. He's won a trophy for them. He's been in finals. He's a decent, clearly a decent managerial record. But it just isn't happening for him, which is you know, I'm not a Man United fan, so I don't care. But it's a shame for United fans. But yeah, drawing with Burnley, I guess Burnley again. Burnley is still fighting, but you know, United expect to win that. United obviously fighting for a top space. So I did bring I did my son's. It's actually more interesting my son's team because he's done much better. But my son's team, I did bring in a couple of United, and that was in the template wild card, I guess, as my boy had a wild card. Fernandez and Dalot were certainly features in there. Maybe Garnacho for a few. So that was kind of interesting. And you know, I say coming into the next few fixtures, Fernandez had looked really good recently, and then you've got away to Palace, who. Actually, that, you know, a couple of months ago, it looked like a great fixture. These days, not so much. Palace are really flying at the moment. But then you've got the double home to Arsenal and home to Newcastle. I mean, again, it's not a great double, is it? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not thinking, I haven't got the option of playing wild cards or going too crazy, but I'm not thinking of going with the United players, I don't think, into that. Depends on where I am. If next week's as bad as this week, I might just go crazy and take like six hits or something and just, you know, see if I can attack that week and feel good about the score that week. Because like if I'm going down anyway, I'll do a Sheffield United. If I'm going down anyway, I might as well go down conceding 100 goals. But yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's an interesting point. So that was Brett Woodward. So I was talking about he sold Saka and kept Salah. Salah appears to have fallen out of Klopp. I'm sure everybody else has seen this. There seems to have been a bit of a falling out on the touchline, which is not the sort of thing you see at Liverpool that often. Obviously, it's Klopp last season. It's almost certainly Salah's last season with all the Saudi interest. But things don't seem particularly happy in that camp. It's not going to be the Hollywood Disney ending they were going for, by the looks of things, which, you know, again, as an Everton fan, I take tremendous pleasure in. I don't really. No, it's a friendly rivalry. It's didn't really want Liverpool to win everything, but... I think that in itself is, you know, the fact that United and the Liverpool rather are now out of that. Liverpool aren't in this race anymore. So, you know, the fluctuation of assets last few seasons, you know, you're not really going to want to have Liverpool assets. I don't really know who justifies being from Liverpool in your team in these last few weeks if you haven't already got them or you've not got other problems to fix. So, I've got Darwin, but if I could get rid of him easily, and I will get rid of him easily, I'm going to go to Isaac next week, hopefully, assuming he's not injured or something else comes up. Here's another tale of woe from Twitter, from FPL Galaxy Gordon, who said he owns Neto, Shah, Ait Nouri and Van Heck and is yet to play the bench boost. I think he's thinking ahead. I've still got a bench boost left. That's an interesting thing. I've got a bench boost and triple captain. I was kind of going to do triple captain last week on Salah. That's the only thing that kind of went well for me, really, last week in 34, is not playing the bloody triple captain, because that would have made me even more annoyed. I'm going to save up for 37 and stick it on one of the doublers, probably maybe a Newcastle, maybe a Gordon or an Isak, maybe a Palmer if he's kind of back there, you know, and Chelsea... Chelsea's kind of fixtures are good there. I guess 37 doubles is interesting. Chelsea away to Brighton and Forest, actually, if Palmer's, you know, if they're still competing for that European spot, and those are games they're going to want to win, both those matches. They're away. Forest, you know, can concede goals, obviously. Brighton all over the place defensively. They seem to have given up this season. That I think Chelsea, even though they, you know, didn't look great... didn't look particularly great against Villa. They did get back to a draw. So, I mean, but I think Chelsea assets are probably the way I'm going to be thinking, certainly from a captaincy perspective. I mean, that does really mean Palmer, doesn't it? I'm not sure. I'll have Son, obviously. I'll have Son, yeah, who has Spurs, have Burnley, but they've got City. Playing City is just not really a game you want to have anybody in, is it, really? So I'm thinking Palmer for that one, probably. That's my early 30, game week 37. I'm 36. I haven't really thought about it at all. I was sort of playing for the previous double. The double in 35 wasn't that bothered about, but I ended up being a bit bothered about it and bringing in Porro and Son which so far has not really paid off, but we'll see. In 36, I don't know who I'm going to target, really. It's frustrating that my Everton defence is injured. I'm hoping if Mikulenko came back, I'd definitely play him against Luton. I think we could get a clean sheet there. Although Luton is again still in the hunt. Where else would we be? I don't know. Burnley home to Newcastle. Burnley still, you know, that last relegation spot is still anyone's. It's two from three to go down. And at the moment, Forest are in the best position. They've got a point extra. But they're only 1 point ahead of Luton and 2 points ahead of Burnley. I don't know. If I was a Forest fan, I'd be getting a bit nervous now. I think Burnley are going to give it their all still. Newcastle away, not quite as good. So, yeah, maybe that's not a fixture target. Yeah, next week, I'm probably going to bring Isaac Ennis. Having said that, just because I kind of want him for the week after. But I haven't really got a strategy for this next week yet. I'm still trying to lick my wounds a little bit. And obviously, we're not going to get the final match until, it's one of those weird weeks where the final game of this week is 2nd of May on Thursday. And then the first game of next week is Friday, 3rd of May. So it's got a very short turnaround. So don't forget that. That's really important. Friday, towards the end of the season, we'll get a bit knackered. Suddenly they slip in a Friday night game and you miss your transfers. Don't forget to make your transfers beforehand. But yeah, strategy for that week, it's I've got a couple of City. I've got my Foden and my Haaland, so I'm feeling kind of well-placed for that. I mean, one of those positions where I wish I had Watkins probably as well. I know he didn't score this week, but he just looks so good. And again, sort of targeting anybody playing Brighton at the moment seems a place to target. So I wish I'd had Watkins. So I'd something I'd certainly look at. Other than that, I don't know. Brentford seems to be going up a bit. Brentford Fulham, I think that'd be a bit of a nothing game. Could be goals in it, but I don't know. You know, it's really hard to point. What's that? They're all safe and nothing really to kind of play for. I guess it's final home games. Chelsea-West Ham could be interesting. I mean, that could be another reason to go early on Chelsea. I think it's an interesting week. Sorry, I've got confused. So Chelsea are playing Brighton in 37. Aston Villa are playing Brighton, that's right. Aston Villa are playing Brighton. So, yeah, I haven't got Villa options, but I don't want to bring a Villa player in just for that 1 week. I've got a load of money now. The one thing about getting rid of Salah is that it frees up a lot of cash. So I think pretty much there's not much reason now to own Salah to the end of the season. Like Salah's Liverpool, you know, the wheels are falling off. They've got the home to Spurs. I'm sure they'll put in a couple of good performances, but I don't know. It just feels like it's all falling apart a little bit. Home to Spurs, away to Villa, and then home to Wolves, you know, maybe final day of the season. But again, once you get into that final day of the season, literally anything can happen. It could be any. It's always a bit of a fun time because it's just random play. It's like everyone's playing Pep Roulette on the final game. Anyway, I was going through some of these tales of woe. So I had Robert Hulis from the FPL Yellow Army, and he's telling me his tale of woe. I played the wild card this week, and Shah was included. I think Shah was included. Cucurella was included, who scored an own goal. Foden was his wild card, missed out. And he benched Walker's 8 points. But surely, with all those players missing out, there's a chance Walker come off his bench. Dropping 10K. I don't know what position was at before, but dropping 10K in a week play wild card is not what you want. The Van Hecke injury news, again, it's the defenders seem to be the absolute. Not that, you know, the midfielders let us down as well in terms of Salah, but defenders seem to be the real cause of woe right now. So here I've got Paul Allen, 2023, who picked Shah, Edison and Van Hecke on wildcard. Oh. Edison, by the looks of things, was came out of that game. Obviously, we subbed effectively half-time. He's come out with his arm in a sling. So obviously, this time we'll get more news about that, but that's not great. A lot of people went Edison and wildcard because of the double coming up and 37 for City, and you know because it's Edison. But City defence has been pretty tight, and they're in their City are in their kind of machine mode at the moment, where they just steamroller people a little bit. You don't have to score hundreds of goals, but they just win. And Paul Allen, despite his defensive, he shouldn't listen to me when I was saying he's picking Shah and avoided at all costs. He also has Van de Ven and Jackson via disallowed goals. Oh God, yeah. Jackson is just a whole episode of a podcast in himself, isn't he? The man is like a real enigma. I clearly there's a footballer in there. Like at times, you know, his positions he takes up, his movement, some skill on the ball. It's one of those jigsaw. It just seems to completely fall apart in the box, right? He's a jigsaw forward. He's just clearly not a centre forward. I mean, like, I'm not a professional footballer or a football manager. I can see it. Surely if you're, you know, the football coach with a $1 billion budget, you can see that that's not your best option. I know Nkunku was supposed to be their main leading their line, but like, I don't know. Chelsea just have this weird mental thing with playing forwards or aren't forwards. They had the thing with Havertz for ages. Although Havertz is kind of coming good at Arsenal at the moment, but you know, and sort of leading the line. I mean, he's leading the line. Yeah, Havertz and Odegaard up front today. I don't know what Arteta's doing. So maybe they do know something. Maybe it's like 3D, 4D chess and they're just ahead of me. But this guy also sold Saka and Havertz for Bruno and Foden. And I think, yeah, a lot of people will be hurting from Arsenal sales this week just because they're chasing the doubles. And, you know, that midfield, Havertz particularly, is the one player that I've not owned this season. I feel that I wish I had. I bought him for my son's team. I bought both Havertz and Saka out for my son's team this week. So he doesn't know that yet. Well, maybe he does, but I'm in a different country, so he can't give me a hard time about it. But yeah, no, because I was building his wild card team. So yeah, I got rid of both of those, and he's got Fernandes instead. And Son. So Son's done all right. So, but yeah, I think if I had Havertz now, you know, double game weeks are great, but you know, they don't always deliver, right? There we go. Who else we got? A few more misery. Here's a slightly more happy one. Oh God, no, unhappy one. FPL Hello, which is lovely. Hello. He started White over Gvardiol. Yeah, Gvardiol. 15 points. Is that right? I guess it is. Goal and I haven't even seen the final points for City. Wow. Gvardiol. Yeah, I mean, Gvardiol, I think he's scored 3 in his last 5. I've got to double check that. Is that right? I think it might be. Is he the new Cancelo? I don't know. Is he that Man City defensive asset we've all been waiting for? I mean, yeah, he has. He's got two goals and assist in the last in the Premier League at least, and not including European things. So yeah, I mean, you know, 12, 6, 15, that's pretty impressive hauls from Gvardiol. I guess the problem is they've also got, like, you know, half the season he's not played, but you know, maybe that was the option. Maybe that was the big option we should have gone for. I was at no point was looking at City defenders. I'm not in that lucky position to be able to think about that. So yeah, unlucky there. I feel bad for you, FPL Hello. But then the fact you started White over Gvardiol, is it Gvardiol or Gvardiol? It's GV Gvardiol. I'm just going Gvardiol. The fact that you've 14 points down, then I suggest to me that unless you brought White in this week, you benefited from the Whitehall last week when he did incredibly well. And then Shane Dooley is the other side of the coin, who's saying, Gvardiol and Kanji, 23 points, just got me out of jail. I mean, that's very gratifying. 23-point defensive haul, that is pretty much as good as you can get, right? I mean, that is the flip side of the... of the coin. A few people out there in the community talking about how Everton defence, again, has come up a couple of times. Pickford's done very well for people. Branthwaite's a hell of a player. Obviously, I'm biased as an Evertonian, but Branthwaite really is. I sincerely hope he's going to still be in the blue of Everton in next season's FPL. We're going to have to sell someone. So the smart money is either on him or Onana. I'd much rather sell Onana. Not that I don't think he's also a good player, but I think Branthwaite is just, he's like a generational player. He's just incredible. Like, the guy's for a young lad, his presence, his positioning, you know, he scored a couple of goals this season. He's like a, you know, he's a proper kind of captain, really. He leads by example. Never seems to put a foot wrong. Handy on the ball, left-footed sort of centre-back as well. The guy's brilliant. I love him. Absolutely love the guy. And it's great to see him getting goals and getting points. You know, still also love Tarks, but love for Tarkovsky, but he's not, you know, he's a bit more expensively priced. And Pickford's always a good option, but I think you might have missed the boat. We've got a couple of good, you know, Sheffield United, we might keep a clean sheet there. We might do against Luton. I don't think we're going to go against Arsenal. I don't imagine that Everton are going to ruin Arsenal's title party, if it indeed is still on, come the final season, final match. It just seems anybody else out there. That's been a kind of topics. I think there's going to be a lot of woe over Arsenal players, as I said. I think City's variation. Foden did so well for me last week. He was out sick. I don't think it's anything that should naturally keep him out of the next match, from what I'm hearing. But he is. He was out. He's out kind of sick this week. Those kind of the main kind of flashpoints, and the Shah owners, the Shah buyers. I'm so sorry. I feel like I've done that to us all by, after selling him and pickedly keeping him out of my team for so long, and then deciding to come back in as part of my attempt to build towards, what the whole point was to build towards a Newcastle triple up for that double game week. I should have started at the front where Wilson and Gordon were smashing in the points this week. Obviously, Isaac, not Wilson. Isaac and Gordon were smashing the points. 13 for Isaac and I think it was a 10-pointer for Gordon. Check that, 10-pointer for Gordon. Wilson did actually score, having said that. But I guess that's also a worry for Isaac owners. If Wilson's back and scoring, does that mean rotation? I don't know. Newcastle still fighting for the... obviously fighting for that European place as well. Where are they at with that? Actually, I think it's looking at Newcastle are currently seventh. I think European places might go down to eighth with the conference. I'm not sure now. It's also confusing with all this. I think last time we checked this out, it was potentially that you'd get four in the Champions League, three including the cup winner in the Europa, and then eighth place where West Ham are currently going is in the conference. So I'm not sure anybody knows that or not. But yeah, so there's still like Chelsea in there. I mean, even Bournemouth really are actually in there still, but Chelsea got games in hand. It's going to be an interesting battle. I can't really see Spurs overhauling Villa, although they have got two games in hand. So I guess this match against Chelsea is going to say a lot. But I nearly kind of see Man United overhauling Spurs. So I think the top five, apart from the order of one and two, is pretty much set now. Spurs do have two doubles. They do have five games still to play. So yeah, mathematically, they definitely have the chance of doing it. But I just don't see it. I think Villa have got enough to get them into that Champions League space and be very well deserved. So be very happy for Villa. We actually work with Villa a little bit. We do some fancy content for them. I'm a big fan of all clubs, obviously. But yeah, we're really happy for that. For Villa, and they're still in Europe. Of course, they could have a huge season if they got Champions League and came away with the European trophy. I'm sure that'd massively surpass the Unai Emery. Would be doing an incredible job. And then Europa football. I think it's probably the best United can hope for, at least and now and Newcastle. But you know they're in the mix. So yeah, it goes all the way down. I don't see Wolves bringing there, but that's. The reason why this stuff is interesting is because obviously when it comes to picking players for FPL for the last few weeks, you want players with something to play for. You know, if they're mid-table, not really a chance of getting anywhere up or down. It's kind of much easier for them to be on the beach, much easier for the managers to rotate. So I think we're going to see a lot of rotation. That's what always happens. Always kind of takes people by surprise a little bit, but the last few weeks of the season, certainly the final weekend, I think it'll be, especially with the schedule being quite punishing, I think there'll be a lot of rotation in the last few weeks. So, what you need to make sure is you've kind of got, you've got a bench that has people you wouldn't mind coming off it. Because as we've seen in the last few weeks, you know, you're going to need that. I've still got my bench boost to play, and if anybody else is in that position, then there's going to be further misery to come. I'm thinking a heads up for those that the obvious time to do that would be in the double game week, assuming I've got a few decent doublers and some decent single week players as well. So it's probably going to be 37, but I was thinking about a triple captain for that. Oh, it's mad, isn't it? When am I going to do it? When am I going to play that? It's got to be either 36 or 37. You don't really play in the chips than last week. So this is the argument about why you play bench boost early this season, because you kind of just want to get it out of the way. It's a really random chip where, just needs everything to fall your way, you know, and to actually get yourself in a position where you've got a good team and a good bench, because, you know, usually you're having some rubbish on your bench to ensure you've got a high-quality team, right? And so it's usually only after wild cards or particular, you know, weird doubles. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do now. My whole strategy is all over the place. I need some help. I need some help and some guidance. I'm going to go away. I'm going to read some articles. I'm going to really, really think about this, because I am determined I'm not going to get into the top 500K. I think that's unlikely to happen. But I am determined to get the not finish outside the top million. It's so awful. Like, I was in the top 5K, aiming for 10K finishes. I've sort of descended into this ridiculous position that I've just taught myself into it. I really, really, really need to pick up. So, and if you're the same, my message to you, if you're out there going, oh, I'm miles off my mini league, or I'm too far down, there's always time to turn it around, right? Even the last week you can get some big point swings. I remember Mark Sutton's coming back from the dead in a few last game weeks. I mean, obviously he's a much better player than I'll ever be, but I think there is still a chance. And as I say, next week, some tasty fixtures. 37 is, with the doubles, is going to be a good opportunity. So, yeah, I think it's time to go a little bit maverick as well. Try and get some differentials in there. The interesting thing right now is, like, players like Haaland and Salah, who would have been absolute fixtures earlier in the season, are no longer essential, right? So you take those out, or at least one of those out, and suddenly you've got a whole lot of budget you can spread around. You know, me taking Salah out has meant that I can just kind of get who I want, really. Now, I'm not, you know, I could have, if I had the space, I could have gone for, you know, De Bruyne this week, which would have been great. And that, maybe that's an option ahead of the, you know, Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland for their double. Unlikely that all of them are going to play both games, unfortunately, but if they were, that would be incredible. But yeah, I think it's time to not be so worried in a way about it. I mean, Salah's pretty much a busted flush this season. Wait until he comes back and scores a hat-trick next week. And Haaland is obviously, you know, he's kind of in and out a bit at the moment. He scored today, though. He only has to have, you know, half an hour on the pitch to get a return. He's still an incredible player. But he's not the points monster that we're also afraid of leaving out before. You know, it's other players that are kind of doing that to us. And of course, you've got your Palmers and your Gordons. They're so cheap. It's, you know, enables you to, well, even Foden, really, for the points he's been delivering recently, 8.3 is a great, great asset to have in there. So I'm going to have all three of those by next week, and nothing can happen this week. I just need to sort out my defence. So if anybody can give me some tips on sorting out defence, that's what I'm going to spend my... Well, then again, actually, maybe I should just forget defence, leave it as it is. If I'm only getting a single point anyway, it doesn't even matter if no one's playing, does it, really? I should really be going in heavy on all those attacking positions, make sure I've got a solid 5-2 or 4-3 each week that I think can really do damage. That's what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do. That's not what I did last week. I went to Newcastle from the back first. Disastrous. Don't do that. Mistake. If I'm going to go Newcastle, it's going to have Bezek and Gordon next week. If I'm thinking the week after, yeah, I think that's probably, yeah, that, I think that's a way forward. Or I'll try and bring Watkins in. You'll have to tune in to find out next week. I think that's kind of it from me. Sorry, it's been a bit sort of rambling. And for some reason, we have two people trying to get in. I don't know why there seems to be a problem. I'm going to have to do some tech checks on exactly why people can't call in when you're on Wi-Fi. It has worked before, so I don't know if it's just people calling in or it's some weird thing happening because I'm on a hotel Wi-Fi. I don't know. I'm Mel Fozzie. I'm out in Dubai. I'm going to be out. Can be back. Won't be in before the game again to game week, but I'll be back for game week. This is kind of what I'm going to do for game week 35. I should be back to wrap up how it goes on in game week 36, I do hope that you are enjoyed at least listening to somebody blathering on about fantasy and their problems. And keep it in context, obviously. It's only a game. It is an incredibly good game, and it's a game that we get obsessed about, but it is only a game. And so look after yourself, look after your families, and hopefully those that still got Chelsea and Spurs assets, I hope most has returned for you, and I hope you can finish really strong in the last 3 weeks. Get those chips done. Don't forget the early deadline next week, and green arrows to everybody. Thank you very much. Good night.